everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm also joined today by Justin Cook, who will be here in just a minute. And I'm also joined by James Sloan, who you guys just, if you guys were just listening earlier, we did a, it was kind of a pre, we didn't really plan it out too well. It was kind of a last minute thing, but James put an excellent show together about the 9/11 supposed witnesses. Before I get into that, why don't you guys just let me add Justin Cook into the call, because he just signed in. So let me just add Justin in, so he's on par with what we're... You just heard a show that... James, why don't you tell them what the show you just did, what it was about, and why it was a little different than some of the other 9/11 shows we do, because you really focused on the witness testimonies a lot more than I think I ever did, and there's some real contradictory stories there that are just absolutely ridiculous. Maybe you could bring up a couple of the finer points. We won't go through the whole show, but I mean, like the guy that rode the stairs 80 floors down and only broke his legs, and a few of those stories are pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure. We went through a lot of the earlier eyewitness testimonies and things. Particularly, I managed to get my hands on a number of documentaries that were put out, you know, sort of 2001, 2002, very rare now. You don't hear much, but, you know, anniversary show stuff they did initially with eyewitnesses of people allegedly who worked in the towers, and then just so many ridiculous stories that, and so many of these videos just went by the wayside. You know, that I guess 2005, 2006, when people really started getting into this stuff in those movies, like Loose Change were made, you know, those videos, nobody went back and then really had a look at some of those earlier documentaries where the most ridiculous accounts were featured, you know, in terms of stories like people allegedly survived the collapse of the building, or the destruction of the building, rather than like one guy, John McLaughlin, who allegedly surfed down 80 stories, surfed the debris wave down, however you do that. I guess you got a piece of steel.
Say that one more time for anybody that missed it. He surfed his way down the debris, 82 floors supposedly, and this guy survived. Does that seem like a credible witness? I mean, come on.
I don't know what he did, if he got like the floor pans or like the trusses or something, and like a surfboard or something, and surfed down. Maybe use one of the exterior columns as a surfboard. I mean, I don't know. It's completely absurd. I mean, and indeed, not many people are aware that anybody supposedly survived the destruction of either or both of the towers. In terms of Building 7, the story we've been told is that nobody was in that building, although, that's obviously they weren't, no one was in any of the buildings, but the official story, you know, tends to be contradictory, but certainly not many people are actually aware that there are as many as 30, 40 or more people allegedly who survived the destruction of whatever happened to those buildings. And like I pointed out in the show how stupid it is that, like, even Willie Rodriguez's story, like, about the building collapsing on top of the fire truck, how could you get up and walk away? I mean, there will be 110 stories with a building on top of you. And then once, if they're in the South Tower, once the North Tower comes down, there's 220 stories worth of rubble. So how were these people down in the lobby when the building collapsed, and then they were able to be pulled out of the rubble pile, you know, hours later?
Well, and this would be the most dramatic thing ever in the history of television, and you're in the media capital of the world, and again, there's no video of it. You don't see anybody pulled out of the rubble, like the point you made in the show.
For sure, we would have a ringside view of it. I mean, there are two sequences of images that would be the most dramatic shots on 9/11 that everybody would fight for. Well, there would be three. One,
yeah, we don't have either.
Well, there would be four. The two are the shots of the plane crashes and the destruction. The other two shots are the shots of people escaping the towers, you know, through the lobby.
Yep.
And shots of people being pulled out of the rubble pile. And there is not one.
There's not one.
In the Miraculous Staircase documentary about the firefighters, They tried to show this video like it was just sort of in the lead up to them sort of walking around the rubble pile, just as the guy was about to be pulled out, it like paused, and it's just completely and utterly ridiculous. The woman allegedly that was in the staircase with these firemen, I forget what her name was, but she supposedly died in 2008. I mean, but she looked in perfectly good health. In the movie. And yeah. Josephine Harris, it was.
Justin, are you there? Justin, can you talk? You gotta change your settings, bro. We're calling on your phone because all we're hearing is feedback from our voices. I can hear myself, and I can't hear you at all. I'm gonna disconnect Justin and let him call back in. Go ahead, James, if you can remember where you left off.
We were obviously going through the story, and Josephine Harris is a woman, allegedly, who escaped from what? But the staircase B story is that there were these firemen. The official story is nobody survived the collapse of the South Tower. As far as I'm aware, I haven't seen any contradictory reports. The North Tower, on the other hand, there were allegedly a group of firemen and civilians between, like, in the fourth floor. And the building came down, and they somehow weren't killed. A thousand other people in the tower were. And they looked up, and they saw blue sky once. How would you see blue sky? If the videos are real, you would have just seen, you know, smoke and stuff, and pulverized concrete and whatever. But even so, allegedly, as many as 24 people were crammed into this little pocket, as he describes it, between the in the staircase. And anyone who's seen pictures of the World Trade Center staircases, and again, we don't know exactly whether those pictures are real or if those buildings were designed exactly as we were told, but we know parts of them were hollow and that, but these staircases were very narrow, and they certainly, a pocket between the set of stairs could not accommodate, 24 people. And just so many of the things they say are just ridiculous. And like I said, there should be at least, they would be buried under, so, like...
Dude, they told us this is the biggest massacre ever, like, this biggest terrorist attack ever, supposedly. And yet, all the biggest... And I know they would be gory images, I know things are sensitive, but in this day and age, that's changed a lot. You could put a picture of a body being pulled out of the rubble mangled on the cover of Time magazine nowadays.
Oh, for sure you could. And it wouldn't be Time magazine we would see it in necessarily if they didn't. We have so many websites. We've got ogrish.com, we've got Faces of Death. Their videos are very, very big.
Yeah.
In 2001 to 2005. There would definitely be bodies, at least from a distance, like a shot that didn't show all that much, but showed, something, and then we don't see any of that.
No, you don't see any of that at all. And what about the ridiculous story of the people riding the crashing elevator?
Well, yeah, we've got all these stories, and I went through a lot of them.
Yeah, and it's just absolute nonsense,
Well, the way we told the building was designed was it was effectively three buildings stacked on top of each other, and with all the elevators and staircases in the central core. And then, basically, every zone of the building, 40-story zone, had separate elevators. And, there were only two express elevators that went the whole height of the building. So the story about elevators crashing down and people coming out of them on fire. That wouldn't happen, first of all, from a plane crashing in another zone of the building. And secondly, the elevators, the modern elevators, wouldn't behave like that. They have many safety mechanisms. Who knows what the plane allegedly crashed into the Empire State Building in the 1940s. Who knows exactly whether that story was true or not, but they said that the elevator came crashing down in that building, and ever since then they designed elevators particularly so they wouldn't behave that way. They have many safety mechanisms on them. But the stupidest thing is that the elevators allegedly crashed in the lobby, but the World Trade Center, from what we're told, went down six basement levels. The elevator shaft stopped in the basement parking garage, 6 floors below.
Yeah, so why would they crash all of a sudden on the lobby? Unless the lobby, would the lobby have some special made floor that was just, you know, 1,000 times thicker than everything else?
Yeah, exactly. They would have crashed in the
especially towards the beginning of the truth movement, and I wasn't around for that, but I think I could speak on it a little bit now because, you know, going back and looking at so much stuff, there was just so many of these witness disinfo stories that were just floated out there, and everybody just bought them all up, no matter which documentary or website or forum you were a fan of. There was no suspicion that maybe this could be a hoax or these people were lying. And it's almost an insult to your intelligence to go back and think, man, did I really believe this shit? Like, I mean, some of them are just so crazy. This one most people didn't believe by the time he said it. But there still were people that weren't skeptics yet that did believe it. What about the guy at the Pentagon that talks about the wind? He made a correction. He said it was a missile, and then later on he corrects it and says, oh, it was a plane, and the wings folded up before it went in the hole.
part of the COINTELPRO...
Wallace, right? That's his name?
Yeah, I believe so. There was also another guy. Well, there were several. There was the journalist Jamie McIntyre who made a statement and retracted it later, and then there was also another guy. There were three or four at the Pentagon, but the interesting thing is that across the board, what they did was they put out a number of statements, and they also did it with Barry Jennings, too, the World Trade Center 7 guy, who made a statement to Loose Change, and then later on he said that Loose Change, changed his words around and tried to say, you know, so they did this to make them look bad because they created this idea that the building was demolished. So what everybody would do is just look through all of the videos. They would just scour the archives, basically. And I did this. I got the Fox and the CNN archives in 2006 and just went through every frame of the news coverage, and you just look for anything that had explosion or anything. And you just took it because you were on this wild goose chase after any footage that didn't match the government account, and it didn't really matter what it was, because you were just looking for something that you could debunk the official story with, you know, the whole time the burden of proof being on you, and it's just the rabbit trail you go down, and you don't realize the footage is fake, and then it's just to keep you on this never-ending journey looking for all of this contradictory stuff, and you never question it, because all those accounts reinforce is that there were people there in the building, so there were people there on the street to hear these explosions. And it is really true that in the whole time we're trying to debunk the official story of 9/11, we're actually reinforcing.
Who's Dr. Rudy in the chat that knows about my Silver Acura days? That's got to be somebody I know. Anyways, sorry about the little technical issues tonight. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. My mic was muted for a while right before we went to that last break. I was just going to tell you guys I was going to go to break to try to reconnect with Justin, but it doesn't seem like it's working right now. I don't know if his cell phone's dead. I tried calling him, so it could be just me and James for a little bit here. But we do have some other stuff to get into. You guys can hear the stream now, correct? James, you can hear me fine?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. I wanted to get into a little something that about a week ago I heard from Jim Fetzer. He made a post on Facebook, okay? And I put the song back on, the person said. That is a damn good CD. Jim Fetzer made a post about some guy, Pete Santilli. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he said that this guy did some real shady stuff, and no, this could be the, you know, the coffee calling the kettle black, whatever, you know, type of thing, but he said that he did some real shady stuff, and he purposely lowered Jim's audio and boosted his and made it sound like he was on this terrible connection, and he went on this big spiel before he played the show about this, that, and the other thing. And I wanted to see if he was, you know, telling the truth. So I listened to both versions of the show. I listened to the Pete version, and they really got into it. I mean, they were calling each other effing a-holes and everything. Full out, blown out, screaming at each other. And then I listened to the audio on Jim's show, which took a few more days to post, and Jim was crystal clear. So I'm thinking, okay, who's this Santilli guy? I want to know more about this guy because, all right, it's one thing to have different theories than people. A lot of people are shills in this 9/11 game. We all know that. Sometimes we adjust, and sometimes we probably unjustly label people shills before we should just because we have very different views of them. But this guy Santilli, he used some real dirty tactics, and I decided that I was going to call it. And somebody told me, I'm in this stupid 9/11 group on Facebook. It's like 9/11 truthers are crazy, and all they do is shit all over us. But I go in there to debunk them and fight with them. I don't care, because it's good training. Anybody wants to call in on the show and come with some of their bull crap. Like, they're all official to believe our stories, except for like five of us. Anyways, somebody's in there, and they're on Judy's side, which is fine. I agree, Shane. That I actually, out of all the different camps of people, though, I do have a lot of respect for the people, you know, in that camp, because we do agree on a lot of things besides, you know, what took down these towers, you know, and they do at least seem to be open-minded to listen to other theories, and so I said, I'll call in and I'll talk to Judy. I have some things to ask her. Oh, you won't call in. You're a liar. This is, what do you mean I won't call in? Of course I'll call in. So I called into the Judy Wood on the Pete Santilli thing. And this guy, Pete Santilli, before I played the call, because it's hard to tell in the call, because they were pretty smooth about it. It's hard to tell in the call. Oh, so I, as I was talking mid-sentence, they muted me. Now, muting me on break is one thing. Muting me because I'm being a loudmouth is another. They muted me in the middle of making a point on three separate occasions. That way either he could talk or Judy could talk. And one of them was like, they muted me and she said, well, if you would have looked at any of my work or read my book at all or anything. And I would have rebutted with, well, I did, but I couldn't because I was muted. And the audience didn't know that. And I'm sorry. No matter what your belief is, no matter whose fault you think that was, the producer, the host, the guest, whatever, that's a shady tactic. I would never do that to anybody on my radio show. If I ask you a question, you give me the whole answer. I'm not going to cut you off halfway through. And they did this to me three times. Now, what this was all about, and this is a pretty good question, I thought. You know, if I'm just going to call Judy and ask one question real quick. I think the host knew who I was. I'm not sure because he was rather quick to get me off the air. He acted like he was going to open the lines and take all these phone calls. And then as soon as I called, it was, oh, we got to hurry up and get off the air. But anyways, I just asked her a simple question that some of her followers have asked me and in different regards as to why I believe the collapse footage was fake. I asked her what is her biggest, you know, slam dunk evidence that the towers were taken down with a directed energy weapon. And they took all types of offense to that. I never got an answer to my question. And not only that, this guy Santilli actually goes on the air. He puts me on hold during a commercial break. He comes back on and he tells everybody, and I was very excuse me, I was very polite to Judy. Guys, I'm going to try and add Justin right now. It should be all set. Justin, are you there? Justin, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just getting into the Judy Wood call. So I was very polite when I called Judy, and what I was going to call her and ask her was, hey, Judy, you know, and I did go through her evidence, okay? No, I didn't read the book, but yes, I spent 25 hours on her presentations, which I think, you know, might not be as sufficient as reading the book, but that's a good grasp of getting somebody's feeling on something. And I was very polite. I called her Judy, And I said, Judy, what is your, you know, slam dunk proof that, you know, this is a directed energy weapon that took down these towers? And they got so offended by it, they actually cut me off. And then she went on to say what she said the last time I called her. And I'm going to play both calls. And I'm not trying to just bash Judy because, like I said, it seems to be that there's more people in her camp that I get along with than others because they are more open-minded. And it's just the destruction of the towers that we have an argument with. We're really all on the same side here. We don't need to be fighting. So I'm just trying to get all the information I can. I wasn't rude at all. This Pete Santilli guy was so condescending to me. He actually put me on hold. First of all, he put me on mute three times in the middle of my point, so I couldn't finish. One of my points was, what if all the stuff wasn't vaporized and the contents just weren't there in the first place? Which is obviously the theory that I'm more in the belief of if you haven't listened to any of our 9/11 shows. And right when I said that, I was muted again, and that's when she went on about how would I know if I've never looked at her material. But I have looked at her material, but I wasn't even able to rebut on that because I was muted. And it literally told me on my cell phone, you are muted. You are muted. Like, that's I don't know, Justin, I know you joined a little late, but that's kind of a dirty tactic, wouldn't you say? Yeah, so what I was saying, you know, what do you guys think? That's a pretty dirty tactic to let me say half my point and then, you know, mute me and then imply that I haven't looked at any of her material. Now her whole audience, or his whole audience, whatever audience it is going to assume that I'm just some idiot that's calling in. I've never looked at her material, but I'm dismissing it. And that's not the case at all. I spent a lot of time looking at her material, but I didn't get to even make that rebuttal because I was muted in the middle of my point. And then I had two more points where they muted me, okay? They went to break, and then when they went to break, Justin, make sure you listen to this. This is good. When they went to break, okay? Now, when I addressed her, I was very polite, just like I was the last time. The last time I called her, I told her it was an honor to talk to her, okay? That's about as polite as you can get, okay? So I called her. I called her by her name, Judy, just as if I called you Justin, because that's your friggin' name, okay? This guy, Pete Santilli, comes back from break and tells everybody that it's a psyop that I'm running by calling her Judy, and I'm doing it to belittle her and to take away her credentials and, like, make her look like a crazy person, and I need to address her as Dr. Judy every time I address her.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time that a show that she's been on has used questionable tactics. In fact, when you appeared on the Late Night in the Midlands show last year, not only did they do a similar kind of thing, they actually rebooted the entire show.
Yeah,
while they had you on.
They actually cut the whole show down.
Hear that.
No, I didn't hear that. You
recorded what came through in your end. They actually rebooted the entire show.
Yeah,
If I was you, I would make a YouTube video out of it because that's the best way to reach a lot of people.
Yeah, man, you know, and it's very shady radio tactics, you know. I mean, it really is. I'm going to play the call from today. I'm going to pause it a few times and interject because it's really going to – they're really smooth. This who's ever running this Santilli guy, there's some money behind him. He's got to be a paid shill because – they did it smooth. Like, you can't even really tell in the audio editing that they cut my stream out, but it was like, as soon as I was done making a breath and about to get into my next point, cut me out. But there is the one time you can hear me bring up, well, what if the towers were, you know, empty of the contents and everything wasn't vaporized and they were just empty? Boom, I was muted, but then I was also told, well, if you would have looked at my material, blah, 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 blah. But in fact, I did look at her material, but I wasn't able to rebut because I was muted. Then they went to break. Justin, they literally went on the air. This guy went on for 2 to 3 minutes talking about how it is a psyop that I am trying, not specifically only me, but it's a psyop when anybody calls Judy Woods, and not doctor before her name. I don't have to call her doctor. Does she call me Mr. Brian Stavely? And you know what?
I think we all understand that she's a doctor. If that's, you know, so why do we have to say it every time?
Like just the other week we had Fetzer on. He's a doctor or something, right? Did we call him doctor? I don't even call the guy James. I call him Jim. I don't give a fuck. Give me a break.
Is Fetzer a doctor? Is he?
I think he has a doctor in his title somewhere, doesn't he?
I don't know. I mean,
I might as well have one. What's that even mean nowadays? Okay.
Well, yeah, exactly. All that means is that you went to you went to a bullshit, you know, I hate to say it, not all colleges are bullshit, but a good amount of it is. You know, you went, all that means you paid $80,000 for their certificate, you know. And I mean, I hate this, you know, it's not just that, obviously some college, you know, I'm sure she does know what she's talking about, but to just dismiss your question as if you didn't, you know, like, how do you know that the, you know, that there was no, that this stuff was still in the building? She, you know, there's a very simple way to answer it would be like, you say, well, we don't know, but that's what we're, she will not admit that it's a theory.
And no, that's the big thing. That's the big thing is, the big thing is she cut me off and said, I don't deal in speculation or theories. I only deal in evidence. And she said it about five times. She said it about five times the last time I called. And I'm sorry, guys. Whether you believe in media fakery, whether you believe in the official story, whether you believe in Judy Wood, John Hutchison, Dmitry Kalazov, whatever you want to believe in, there's always some sort of theory in there. It's not. Yeah. It's not all evidence, unless you have this absolute 100%
unless you have
evidence. Unless you're Dallas Goldbug and you got the airprint of the guy blowing up the towers. No.
Well, let's be for real. You know, it would not be. You know, like even you know, not a theory is if you can like, you know, if you showed like someone at you know, if you showed somebody come, you know, using that weapon on the fucking building. You know what I mean? Like you would have to show like. Like someone filming it and saying, yes, this is what, you know, then that, even then, I mean, you know, yeah. Is that a theory? You know, I mean.
Exactly. And Shane made a great point right now in the chat, not to interrupt you, but he wrote, that's the script they gave Dr. Woods. And I got to say something. I was in a 9/11 group earlier and we were talking about it after I posted the calls. And one of the guys is like, well, all you have to do to get her answer to that question is go to YouTube. I'm like, well, why should I have to go to YouTube to get an answer to a question? When why is she even doing radio shows then? And YouTube videos can be totally scripted, and she has to take me as a live caller and answer a live question. Why couldn't she just answer the question? All I asked her is, what is her biggest proof that the towers were taken down with DEW? She could have said the holes in WTC-6, like some people say. She could have said the dust. She could have said Hurricane Erin. Whatever she would have said would have been fine. And then I would have asked her why.
Well, you know, and she could have even said, like, you know, well, here's the thing, Mr. Stavely. It's a combination of five or six things. That way, you know, I understand she's probably guarding herself against a straw man. But the other question you asked her regarding... You know, regarding how do you know that the stuff was in the building? You know, she has to just, the only thing she could say is, I don't know that, but that's that, you know, I would speculate that it is. She should at least, you know, if anything, say that, aren't you kind of going off the, you know, insinuating that it wasn't? You know what I mean? If anything, that's what she should say, not just, you know, have you blocked out of the call.
She didn't even reply to, Once I got to my third, it was probably about my third question that I banged out before they went to commercial, and I started to imply if what if everything wasn't in the building and that's why you see so little debris type of thing. That was pretty much when I got hung up on. They blamed it on me, so the audience thought that like I was a coward and hung up. Then when they came back from break, this guy Santilli went on for 3 minutes how it was a psyop that I was trying to run on Judy Wood by not calling her Dr. Judy Woods. I mean, give me a break. I was trying to run a psyop. I was calling the woman by her first name, and that's all. By her first name, and that's all. I'm going to actually play that call right now, okay, because I want everybody to hear it. You won't really hear me get cut out because they did do it pretty smooth, but you'll hear a few times when I just stop talking after like one sentence, and you know I have more to say. And then there'll be one time you'll hear mid-sentence where they just come in and start talking, and my voice is gone, and you'll never once hear me in the background still talking when they're talking because they muted
now,
me every time.
Let me ask you a question now. Is that archive up?
I just personally recorded the audio when I called into the
right.
show.
Right. Well, do you see what I'm getting at, though? Is let's get that archive and see if they even if they edited out your mid-sentence thing, because that would be really good to use, you know.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. Now, what I'm going to do now, guys, is
obfuscating, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to play it. It's only going to be like 6 or 7 minute clip. You hear me talk to Judy Woods for about 3 or 4 minutes, and
Judy Woods singular, no S.
Sorry, and this guy Santilli is just a total dick. I'm sorry, he's a total dick. He's really condescending to me. He really was about me not calling her doctor. I really took it like, are you serious? And all I did is ask a simple question. If she didn't have the, and you know what else I didn't like is, rather than say I don't really know, or there's too many things that are even as a slam dunk evidence, or it was all about, well, if you would have bought my book, I must have heard it about 5 times. It was like a book sale. You know what I mean?
Well, that's all. You know, I've had other Judy Wood supporters. You know, and that's all they'll say to me is, you know, have you read the book? And I say, well, you know, I've read excerpts of it, but, you know, I don't need to read a whole book to understand, like, you know, basically what she's saying. I've looked at all her points. I do understand, yes, to get the whole 100% of it, but she could answer a question on a show without me having to read her whole book. There's no...
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's no reason for that.
Now, there's some people that might not have heard my first call to her. I think I'm going to play the first call first because I got to ask her more questions and I got about 8 minutes of airtime. They did hang up on me. They shut down the whole show, but I got back on after about a minute and I did ask her about the burnt up cars that I see people talking about in the chat right now. She wouldn't answer that question. She ducked around the question about the paper.
Give me the chat link, please.
Yeah, I'll give you the chat link in 1 second, and then I'll play the call that I had to her. What's today's date? Is it the 16th? It was the 14th that I called her. So I called her on Monday. I called into the Santilli show. We'll play the old clip first. Some of you have heard it, but it's worth listening to again because you're going to hear two audios in a row of her of basic dancing around the questions that I'm asking. And I'm not asking anything unreasonable at all. I'm not out there trying to promote myself. And I told her straight out that the cars look like they came from a junkyard. And why do they have no license plates on them?
It doesn't make any sense. Brian, here's the thing, though, too. A lot of people don't understand that you and I both were at one time or another believers of her theory, you know, for whatever you want to call it.
Not like we didn't give her a chance. We gave her more than enough chance.
Right.
I'm not out to debunk anybody. I just want the truth. But the way I was treated on the radio makes me very suspicious. You know, I mean, especially after today. Now, I want to let you guys hear the first call first. I know some of you have heard it, so it might be a bit tedious. I'm sorry. But I think everybody should hear the first call first. You'll hear her clearly not give me answers to almost any of my questions. And then you'll hear the call that I made just the other day, and they're actually muting me and hanging up on me. And then they actually called me a psyop for calling her Judy. But you'll notice in the first call, she doesn't mention, hey, it's Dr. Judy Wood. Or the host doesn't say, it's Dr. Judy Wood. I called her Judy many times. And so did the next caller. And nobody had a problem with it.
That's their straw man. You know,
That's their straw man. And nobody else did. And I'm going to play the first call. This is from September. This is me calling into Judy Wood. And then you're going to hear me calling into her on Monday. And I don't think she was too happy to hear from me on Monday, honestly. Mute mics, please.
All right, well, let's try to get in another call. We've got Brian in Massachusetts. You're on right in the middle. A lot of Brian's tonight.
Hey, how you doing, Judy Wood? How you doing? It's an honor to talk to you.
Hi, Brian.
Thank you for
I just have a few questions for you. I've gone down a lot of the 9/11 rabbit trails, and there's just so many conspiracy theories to follow and stuff. And I actually, there was a phone call that I heard from Jesse Ventura actually talking very highly of your book, and I decided to look at some of your stuff. I have a few questions about some of the things that, you know, a lot of your work is, the all those cars that are, you know, blown up outside the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those cars to me, I mean, you know, I don't see how an energy weapon does that. Those cars look like they came straight from the junkyard. Like, they don't have any license plates on them or anything like that. I mean, are we sure these are legit images that we're looking at? What are we seeing with these cars blown up aren't really, you know, legit images? And you're basing this off of that.
I call them blown up cars. Toasted cars, toast, your history. You can't fix it. You got to get another one. You know, you can't repair it, so it's toast. I'm not defining what exactly happened to it. Whether, you know, it's not a conventional fire, and it didn't explode, you know, lit up, but I've got, you know, pictures of, you know, the car before, during, and after it's being toasted. But with one car, I didn't see the before picture until later on. I thought it was a white car. Uh-oh, it's a black car beforehand. But, you know, it just, the sea of unburned paper between these cars and the WTC complex. The paper didn't catch fire, but the car just kind of lit up in spontaneous combustion. The apparent spontaneous combustion.
Right. And we lost Brian. I just want to make let Brian know if you want to get that other question, then you can call back in. I'll put you back on. I don't know.
No, guys. Guys, don't hang up.
Kind of,
I'm going to turn them down a little.
Like it was dropping in and out, so the bandwidth problem or something.
They're actually going to cut the whole show in a second, but within a minute, I'm going to be back on. So I'm going to let the audio play, and I'm going to have a few more questions for her. And she really does dance around my questions. And I know some of you guys thought this was kind of on the fence the last time, but if you listen to the show that I just she did Monday, and I called in again, and she does the same thing to me. I'm not saying, you know, I don't know what it means, but it doesn't look good. That's all I'm saying. Here's the rest of the clip.
Okay.
About a minute of them talking before Brian calls back in.
Yeah, basically, you know,
speaking to myself in the third person, Simon Shack would be pissed.
You know, people have said, you hear all different kinds of stories. There's all the cars blew up and this and that, but they didn't actually blow up. I mean, the gas tanks were intact, correct?
Yeah, and that's another thing that makes it different from regular car fires. Car fires, you see missing, you know, lid for the gas tank, and, you know, looks like it's blown out. But see, the gas tank lid is still in place and pristine, you know, in the back of the police car, it's, you know, looks like it has a new wax job on it. There's plenty of people who have opinions. There's lots of opinions. But it doesn't come with discussing, you know, particular piece of evidence. There's also people don't want the result, don't like the conclusion, and want to make up a new conclusion or something, and because they mostly maybe can't handle this. So they're trying to find every explanation they can think of. And my brother was that way for a while. He was trying to find every impossible explanation to the point of, you know, some are eating pigeon poop on the cars a half mile away. They're really, really trying hard. Like, okay, how do you ignite it? Oh, maybe a guy came by with a cigar and...
Yeah. We got Brian back. So, Brian, I'm going to bring you back on. Okay, yeah.
Hey guys, I'm sorry about that. I had a lot of issues.
Okay.
You know, I had a few questions. Like, why if they use this high-tech, weaponry, this directed energy, why is it would totally obliterate all the contents inside the building, except for, like, paper? Like, what is it about paper that makes it so it doesn't get destroyed? I know that might sound like an odd question, but, like what's the significance that it wouldn't destroy all that paper that we saw flying through the air?
Let's look at some differences we have with paper and other things. Paper used to be very conductive. Paper is usually flying around and you can be contacting something as much either.
But I mean, people stored in file cabinets inside the towers when they first got hit and got dustified or whatever?
But if a file cabinet kind of get, you know, tossed about, the stuff's going to come out of it.
Huh.
I'm just looking at, you know, possibilities that paper seems to be kind of free-floating. And it could be conductive. Like, you can put a paper towel in, as long as it's dry, put a paper towel in your microwave oven, it doesn't heat up.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, I mean, how many buildings exactly were dustified on that day, on 9/11? How many World Trade Center buildings were?
Wait, this isn't an opinion. This is, I go by evidence. And there were 7 buildings destroyed that day. And there was an 8th one that was infected, and they repaired it. And then they realized it still had a problem, so they ended up taking it apart, taking it back down. That was Banker's Trust. You know, they repaired Banker's Trust, and then they decided to dismantle it.
So I think that this weapon is so powerful that it could actually justify not only these two huge skyscrapers, and as we know, they were on the World Trade Center complex buildings. I mean, a lot of people don't even know about. A lot of people know about 1, 2, and 7, but I mean, there was 4, 5, 6. I mean, there was a bunch of buildings that got destroyed by that day. Obviously, it wasn't two airplanes that took it out. I mean, obviously. I mean, that's just a preposterous tale. But do you think that, you know, that's why there's no remains? There's no remains because everything just got totally inside the building. Like, how strong is this weapon to be able to do that? I would think that there would need to be, you know, just multiple, I don't want to say lasers, because I know that's not the term you use. You use, like, directed energy. I would think there would need to be,
hundreds
of these weapons and powers
of
at once. Yep.
Yeah, this isn't a line-of-sight type of directed energy weapon. This isn't like lasers, lasers, and that type of thing. This is field interference of field effects. It's defined as to what, you know, area it's going to be affecting. So it's very...
No, I don't mean it doesn't have to have a direct line like anything on the tower, but even with, like, you know, intersecting energy fields or whatever it would do, wouldn't it take the power of just, like, so many of these weapons to take those buildings down like that?
I'm looking at the evidence. I don't look at the conclusion to look backwards. I look at the evidence to see what happened. Empirical evidence shows that the towers were turned to dust. And, you know, there's this common argument that people would come up with saying, well, no weapon could be that powerful. So what? Do you think the towers are still there? Yeah, like there's this Greg Jenkins, gimmick that he had to make assumptions in order to calculate how much energy would be required. If it's a free energy device, hey, it gives energy. It doesn't take and use energy. But you know, if you were saying it took five times the Earth's total output of energy, and well, then tell me if the towers are still there then. Or is he saying that the energy came from outer space, or what? But in order to calculate how much energy would be required, you're making assumptions. You're speculating on what the mechanism was. I'm not speculating. I am just stating empirical evidence. The towers turned to dust. We don't need to know how it happened in order to determine that it did happen.
Okay.
You follow?
Yeah, Brian, thank you for your call. I hope that helps, but we're getting low on time, and I want to try to get a couple more in. So we got Matthew in Wisconsin. You're on Late Night in the Midlands, Matthew.
Hi, Judy. It's Matt from Milwaukee.
Listen up, guys, and he called her Judy, too. How disrespectful and condescending of him. So that was the old call I had with her. You know, it made me a little wary about the way she danced around a lot of my questions. She wouldn't, she wouldn't tell me what makes all the paper survive and why, you know, when I looked at her evidence of the cars, what I saw right away, I mean, I saw cars that looked like they were put there from a junkyard. Like, if all this stuff is, you know, toasted off these cars, like, why don't any of them have license plates? Like, they just all happen to just toast off. Justin, you guys can hear me, right?
Yeah.
James, all right. Well, listen, now I called in. Now I heard about this guy, Peter Santilli, and his tactics and him lowering guests to sound like crap and boosted his volume. And, you know, you hear everybody's a shill and this and that. And I heard he had Judy Woods on Monday. And, you know, somebody said I wouldn't call in. So I called in. And once again, if you listen to that last call, whether you agree with my assessment of her, of her theory or my theory or whatever, you got to admit, I was polite with her. I didn't ask anything out of line. I didn't ask anything off topic, and everything I asked was relevant.
I think I got the echo going.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Hang on 1 second. All right, go ahead, Justin.
But, I think a good question to ask would be, you know, Wasn't there some steel left after this? Why did it take out most of the steel and most of the concrete, but not all of it? You know, I could be wrong again that there was some left. Maybe that was all PSYOP too. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very good question. She didn't address. She didn't really seem like she really addressed any of the questions that I asked her, though.
No.
I mean, she even tried to play word semantics when I said burnt cars. Well, they're not burnt. They're toasted. Okay, well, whatever the F they are, you know, they don't have license plates on them, none of them. I mean, is that a coincidence? I mean, or are they a bunch of unregistered cars from a junkyard? I'd say they're a bunch of unregistered cars from a junkyard. So anyways, a few months goes by.
Hold on real quick. Let me say something else, too. Now, in some cars, you see, like the tires blown out. Some cars you see the front end lit up. Some cars you see the back end, lit up like that. Now, why wouldn't they be the same on every car? You know, why wouldn't it? I would think it would just be probably go just towards the front hood more. You know, wherever the, wherever the most metal is, which is going to be under the hood. You know what I mean? It seems like there was variations too of what happened to some of the cars, and you know, and as far as you know, some of them had certain things left and some of them, you know, didn't have, you know, so I mean, it seems like there was some that the trunk had the fire, some of them had the, you know, the front hood had the fire or whatever, you know. That's just another thing. I was just wondering, even when I was, you know, into her theory, I really didn't understand that part, but.
Yeah, I guess Max, Max was listening to that Santilli show, and he was very surprised to hear me chime in. I was too, Max. I had never even heard of the guy till about 4 days ago. But I heard she was on there today, and people said, oh, why don't you call? Why don't you call? I mean, not today, day before today. Why don't you call? Why don't you call? So I figured, all right, I'll give the show a call. And it looks like, here it is right here. Here's the call from Monday from me to Judy. And I was muted after each one of my sentences during the break. Then during the break, this guy Santilli is going to come back and say what I'm trying to do is a PSYOP by calling her Judy and all this bullshit. Like, this guy's a moron.
I'm going to take a call.
Oh, by the way, they do have a buzzing noise in the background. That's not on our end. You guys are going to have to deal with it for a few minutes. I'm sorry.
Caller and then 978 area code. What's your first name? You're live on the Pete Santilli Show.
That's Direct Energy Web.
Hi, Judy. How are you doing?
It's Dr. Judy Wood. There you go. And what's your first name, sir?
My name is Brian Stavely. I run a website called The Real News Online.
Hey, Brian. Brian, what question do you have for Dr. Judy? We're going to be short for time here, going to a break. But what's your question?
Barely here, Brian.
I'll try to keep it brief. And I agree with Judy on certain aspects of 9/11, like maybe airplane crashes being fake and things like that. But as far as her theory on how the towers were taken down, what is her biggest? What would you say, Judy, is your biggest slam dunk?
Guys, I'm sorry about that. I had the wrong setting on Skype. It's loud now, right?
A caller in the 978 area code. What's your first name? You're live on the Pete Santilli Show with Dr. Judy Wood.
Loud now, right?
Hi, Judy. How are you doing?
It's Dr. Judy Wood. There you go. And what's your first name, sir?
My name is Brian Stavely. I run a website called The Real News Online.
Hey, Brian. Brian, what question do you have for Dr. Judy? We're going to be short for time here, going to a break. But what's your question for?
I'll try to keep it brief. Then I agree with Judy on certain aspects of 9/11, like maybe airplane crashes being fake and things like that. But as far as her theory on how the towers were taken down, what is her biggest? What would you say, Judy, is your biggest slam dunk piece of evidence to prove that the towers were destructed in that way and rather not, and I know what the whole Dustify thing and it's missing all the contents and stuff, but, what if those contents just simply weren't there and those buildings were demoed and there was no high-tech weapon? What is your slam dunk thing that makes you believe that it was a DEW weapon used that day? Because I just don't see it anywhere.
I don't deal with beliefs. I don't deal with theories. I deal with evidence. So if you're not aware of that, maybe you haven't looked at my work or looked at my book.
We're going to go to a break. Hold that thought, okay? When we come back from the break, we will finish the answer.
Now, I'm not done yet, but did you hear what she said right there? I was muted, and she said, well, then you haven't dealt with my theory or my book. Well, as a matter of fact, I have dealt with a theory a lot, and I wasn't even able to rebut and say, actually, Judy, I spent many, you know, a long time going over all your presentations and everything, and I did study that theory. And then they cut me right off and made it sound like I was somebody that was just calling and who's never looked at her evidence and was calling her wrong. But I'm going to continue to play because I'm going
to
come back.
Finish the answer to that question.
And I'm going to be on some more. May fast forward a little.
At the 39-minute mark. Okay, Dr. Judy?
The thing on my desktop.
That's
sorry,
okay.
Guys. It's a few minutes before understand they bring
me back. Importance of... And I believe that it's important. Credentials all...
I've been pushing it for how many years?
In the 9/11. You're going to unmute.
Sure.
Yes!
This is one other caller that they took before me. She's rather brief, and then they're going to put me back on.
I have something to say.
All right, go. Yeah. Say it.
After he goes on his PSYOP.
Okay. All right.
I'm listening right now.
What I was going to say is it's common. It seems like nowadays, you know, an opinion and a like button makes someone think that they're an expert.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, they don't have to have any understanding, any background in any particular area. They just, you know, have to have an opinion.
Right.
And
25 seconds.
Referring to me as Judy puts me on the same level as somebody with just an opinion and a like button or dislike button.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Now, we have 10 seconds here. And I'm going to bring Brian back up here, and we'll continue. But I do want to mention the credentialization. Yes. Here we go. Okay. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. And let's see. All right. If you are interested in calling in, 218-339-8525. Everyone that was on hold was just cleared from the screen somehow, some way, miraculously cleared from the screen. And I know who you are because I know who you are. But that's okay. 218-339-8525. If you can call back in, we will open the lines back up for you. But this is very important that I mention to all the callers that are going to be calling in. If you would, please understand the following, what I'm about to share with you. I learned this early on, that in the, let's say, the chat rooms on the internet and all the discussion rooms in AE 911 Truth, we call them the opposition, those that are essentially attempting to cover up the evidence from 9/11, especially what is contained in the book, Where Did the Towers Go? One technique, one of the talking points for everyone that they've been given, it's a technique as part of the PSYOP called credentialism. Credentialism is to, let's say, refer to a gentleman named Stephen.
Here we go. This is where he belittles me for calling her Judy. It's so ridiculous.
Named Stephen Jones as Dr. Stephen Jones. Or Stephen Jones, PhD, or whatever his status is. I don't quite know, and I don't focus too heavily on that. But by stripping Dr. Judy Wood of her title, her appropriate title, it indicates what her expertise is. Obviously, she's got a background. But when they strip the name Dr. Judy Wood and they call her Judy, it's a means of creating an impression psychologically in everyone's mind that she's less qualified to be discussing 9/11 evidence and truth. Isn't that the case, Dr. Judy?
Oh, very much. And it says he puts me on the same level as, a 10-year-old with an opinion.
That's right. We have all our callers back. I want to bring Brian back. Unfortunately, there was an error there. And Brian, I don't know if you heard that. You had referred to her. Now, obviously, we as a community of individuals that understand what the PSYOP is that has been perpetrated upon us, we come together and say, you know what, we're going to refer to Dr. Judy Wood as Dr. Judy Wood. But let's go back to your question. Dr. Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm going to give Dr. Judy Wood the opportunity to answer your question. There you go, Dr. Judy.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks. You mentioned about a theory, and if by theory you mean speculation, there's no speculation in my work. I build a case on evidence, like a detective solving a crime. What I present is conclusive evidence, and being conclusive evidence, it puts an end to all of the debating by reason of irrefutability.
Does that answer your question, Brian?
Sort of. You would know. I'm not saying anybody knows the complete truth of 9/11. I sure don't. I'd love to. But
you don't know that.
I'd say that your work hasn't.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead and finish that.
You can't say that unless you know that. You know, what's your evidence on that? If you haven't read my book, you don't know what happened.
That's right. It's important to do that. Now, also, another thing that we're going to discuss is going to be very important to communicate this, Dr. Judy, because we talk about the so-called PSYOP, and a lot of people are not familiar with the term PSYOP. But there are subtleties, such as decredentializing. There's also subtleties in the way that we take the information, about 9/11, and we use certain terms because people will see a building, quote unquote, coming down. We'll say that. We'll use that term. But by calling it a collapse, it creates a certain impression in your mind.
That guy's a douchebag.
Sorry, I was muted. Justin, that guy is a total douchebag, isn't he?
Yeah.
You hear how he tries to, like, belittle me for calling her Judy? I wasn't like, hey, Judy, you don't know shit because this and that. I was like, hi, Judy, blah, 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 blah. I wanted to ask you this, you know, and she was cool with it, you know. Like,
and none of that, but then she comes down and says, you know, she says it herself by not referring to me as doctor. You know, you're taking me down to a 10-year-old with a dislike or like, you know, that's just straight up.
That talks down on people like us. I'm not a doctor. Does that mean I'm an idiot? No, I tend to think I'm smarter than half of the doctors out there.
You know, and here's the thing too. You know, yes, she may know very well what she's capable of. You know, as far as cold fusion and everything, but could it also be the case that if someone is you know, knows very well about a technology and wants to you know, and wants to say that, you know, that hey, this technology was, you know, it's kind of like think about it, like say a fire was started, and you're an expert in gasoline, you know, so you may want to go and say, well, hey, you know, I'm an expert in gasoline or whatever, so, you know, I know for a fact this was used, and then you know, even if something up to the contrary comes. You know, it just may be that point where she just got to the point where she believes that's what was used. So now she's just going to, you know what I'm saying? It's no different though. It's a belief until we see. You know, there's no way that it's 100% proof. I don't believe that. I don't think that anyone is capable of showing 100% proof right now. I don't. You know, I don't know. That's just me. What do you think? You know what I mean? So as far as like someone like if that's your job, you're going to be looking for it. You know what I mean? If that's what you study.
Now, out of all the theories out there, and I'm not saying she's wrong. I never even implied that she was wrong in talking with her. But out of all the theories out there, to say that hers has no theory in it and it's all irrefutable evidence and she only deals in evidence, I don't know. I believe that's kind of a stretch. I think every 9/11 story has some theory to it, and when we're talking about a weapon that we're not even sure if it exists, and I'm not saying it doesn't. I know the military's many, many years ahead of what we know, and they probably do have something like that. But for something that we're not even sure if they have it,
it does exist. I'll say that it definitely does exist. But again, the whole fact of the matter is, if they can do something a lot easier. You know, and a lot, you know, if there's another way, like they say, there's a hundred ways to skin a cat or whatever. You know, if they can do that, you know, the easiest way possible, then why not do it the easiest way possible? To me, it sounds like, you know, it's just jumping from, you know, jumping to this very complex reasoning. And yeah, it makes sense if you look at it, but if you look at it and say, because that's why I was going back and forth between that and the you know, like the mini nuke and thermonuke theories for a long time. I was stuck between those three theories because to me the demolition of one and two, they did not look like a regular controlled demolition, and that's one thing. That's why I never really was big into the you know, the thermite discussion. You know, like after you know, a couple of years of it, I was, you know, went looking for the you know, like anything else, it describes it pretty well. But I mean, according to a lot of the other stuff that we know now, I think that, like anything, you know, like, you know, it could have been, you know, especially as her book is called Where Did the Towers Go? Now, if we have pretty much proof that they were empty, then that just shows you where the towers went. So, you know.
Your mic's cutting out a little bit. James, do you have any feedback on these calls or the latest call? I know you heard the first one already, but.
Well, for sure. I mean, she says that she's got no theory, but she is a no-planer, so she must know that, you know, there's at least some digital manipulation going on. But then she takes all the photographs of the event as being confirmed to be legitimate, you know. So that's like, you know, that's problematic for her. Also, I'm on the first show. She's trying to put words in your mouth again with the famous, you know, oh, are the towers still there? You know, and like everybody asked us that. You know, like that's just a condescending comment. And like to say that, and then also along those lines, like she's saying that, oh, well, where did the weapon come from? Was it in outer space? But she discounts the possibility that she might be wrong. You know, it's like she's like saying, well, I don't know if the energy. If there is enough energy, but the towers aren't there, so I must be right. But no, you could be wrong, and it could have been a different way, you know? Like, she just assumes that she has to be right.
Yeah, she just assumes she has to be, and she does not have irrefutable evidence, because we'd have it presented to us already. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. We're going to take a quick break, guys. We're going to come back. We're going to get into a couple other things that we wanted to get into tonight. So just stick with us. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. And if any of you guys want to call in when we get back, feel free to call in 978-735-2224. Or you can add us as a Skype contact. It's The Real News Online, all one word, just like the website, The Real News Online. And we'll be back in just a few minutes, guys. Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening to Dose of Reality Radio. You're here tonight with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. We were talking a little bit of 9/11 witnesses at first when James did his show earlier. We recapped on that a little bit. My call into the Peter Santilli show when he had Judy Wood on. There were some new shootings recently. I don't know if you guys wanted to touch on those. I haven't dug into them at all. I mean, it was all within, like, the last day or two. There were three new school shootings, all with, like, two or three victims.
The last week or so, I would say. The Taft one happened a few days ago.
But oh, did it?
I don't know. As far as I go, though, like, here's the thing. Maybe they have...
Justin, your mic's cutting out in and out real bad right now.
Hold on a second. Can you hear me now?
Try it one more time.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
All right. You know, the main thing, though, is if unless we see it all over the news, to me, that's the only thing that I really – if they're not pushing it all over the place, you know, I don't really see a reason to chase after it. You know what I mean? And if it's – You know, and not saying that they're definitely true or anything, because, I mean, it is pretty – it's kind of a far stretch, but, I mean, you know, for people to go and shoot up a school nowadays. Back when I was young, I mean, it used to happen a lot, like in the ghetto and stuff, and, I mean, that might be possibly, like, you know. But I'm just saying, you know, for my opinion, though, I don't know, unless they're pushing them down our throat, you know what I mean? Like, unless, like, they're showing the shooters all over the place, like Holmes, Lanza, or you know what I mean? We haven't really seen much of that stuff, so I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, they probably deserve looking into. It's probably like, you know, how like you had the Aurora shooting, then you had the Sikh one right after it. You know, I'm sure that I'm most likely they're probably bullshit. You know, at least two out of the three of them or whatever are, but there's not much out there on them yet, at least anyway that I've seen. So
yeah. I wonder how long they're going to push that agenda. James, do you guys have anything like that going on in your country? Like, real school shootings, fake school shootings, any type of. Well, you don't really, because you guys don't have guns over there. So, do they do violent acts knivings and stuff?
That wouldn't stop people. I mean, this is a very American thing. You got to remember. I mean, it does happen in other countries too, but
yeah,
that's one of the main reasons we say, you know, that these things kind of are fake. Why is it always America, you know? And why is it always a school? We know why it's a school, because
children pulling your heartstrings.
Yeah, and anybody who's older, slightly older, you know, who's got a kid, that's the thing that would induce the most fear.
Yeah,
you know, being
absolutely.
In a school. But, no, that doesn't. We've had like one spree killing in the last like 20 years, but like it would be varied up. It wouldn't always be a school, you know. It might be a shopping mall. It might be a movie theater. It might be a cruise liner. It might be at an airport, you know. Like, it wouldn't always be a school, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. It'd be all different places. It'd be a coffee shop. It'd be a pizza shop. It wouldn't always be a school. And you would think that the ultimate line for a criminal to cross if they were going to go shoot up some people would be a school. That'd be like their last choice, you know. Like, unless they were a real, real, real sicko, like, to go in and kill kids. I want to say one thing to kind of smooth things over a little bit here with some of the 9/11 people that are in the chat and stuff. A lot of you guys have different beliefs. Some of you guys have some of the same beliefs as me. Some of our beliefs have even altered a little bit. Other people have different beliefs. Just because people have different beliefs, don't automatically think they're an idiot or they're a shill. I see a lot of people in here that have different beliefs that aren't agreeing with each other, but I respect them all a real lot. I've talked to them all personally, and just try and get in touch with each other and just hear out what each other has to say. And some of you guys do have evidence that aren't in these, you know, documentaries that are pushed at us or in these books that are pushed upon us. And even if you are from different camps, we're all out for the same thing. We're all out for the truth of 9/11. Now, I agree, don't go team up with a shill like Alex Jones or, you know, people like that. I'm just saying, regular people listening to regular radio shows, don't be afraid to exchange emails, because I do it all the time with people, and I've met some shitheads, of course, but I've met some really good people that have given me some evidence that I might not have seen elsewhere, and
well,
I think you guys should all give it a chance.
Are you suggesting there's something wrong with Alex Jones?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Justin. I mean, I know that's your uncle and everything. Oh, JB, I know I'm not talking. I know you have. You're very open minded. I'm just saying, everybody in general.
Come and try to get our guns. It's gonna be 1776 here. Oh my God! What a raving lunatic he made everyone look like that is pro gun or whatever the case may be. I just want to say that you know, I don't know. Sorry, go ahead.
He wanted a boxing match too. I mean, that fat fuck.
Yeah, he did. Who do you want to fight? Was it Mark Dice or somebody?
He said to Piers he wanted a boxing match.
Oh. See, because I think Dice would light him up. But not that I'm a huge fan of Dice, but he looks a lot younger, better shape.
I heard you were a big Dice. Dice and Burmese. I heard those are your boys.
I'd like to see Jahan versus Jones versus Willie, Battle of the Guns.
Oh, and like a death match in a steel cage.
They'd both be sweating and shit.
You see Chuck and Jahan get thrown off the top of the cage and Willie get thrown through a bunch of tacks, and then freaking Alex just kills himself.
we'll have the key match.
You
gotta climb the ladder and get the key.
Yeah, that'd be a good time. That'd be a good
since they now locked skyscrapers.
Yeah, James, did you have anything else you wanted to address tonight?
Regards
to anything, I'm getting low on topics here.
Well, we got we're gonna touch on. Go ahead, James.
Justin, your mic, you gotta fix it.
Just to change the topic a little bit, we've got this whole Lance Armstrong saga. We got this interview with Oprah that's going to be airing it'll be about 20 hours from now, so.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that, because that, you know what, that gets very little talk over here. Maybe it's just because I'm not into sports so much anymore. Justin could speak on this probably more, but how much attention is the Lance Armstrong thing getting on, like, ESPN and everything?
Are you kidding me?
Is it all over the place?
Yeah, especially since he went on Oprah. That's all they've been talking.
Okay, I don't even watch TV anymore, so I don't give a damn about it. Go ahead, James. Go ahead. Tell us what you were going to say about it.
Well, it's almost like it's like bigger than sport now, you know. Like, but I don't know. There's just something about it that's just like, I can't put my finger on it, but it's like I just don't know, you know. Like, you know, this guy is denied like over 30 times. I mean, he's just denied and denied and denied it. Like, why would he come out now and perjure himself, you know? Like, I don't know. There's just something about it that just smells fishy to me, but I don't know, you know? I mean, I think for the most part, they do keep sports and music, well, less so music, because they use it to push a lot of satanic stuff and all that, but I do think sport does serve to just be a big distraction to people, as you know, and just keep people occupied and busy and not looking into these sorts of subjects. But I don't think sport is totally clean of that sort of thing. And then, I don't know, man. I'm not saying Lance was, I mean, he definitely won those tours, you know, like it wasn't fixed or nothing, but like, are they using this thing? I don't know, you know. There's just something about it that just smells funny to me.
So when you say it smells funny, I mean, do you want to not speculate too much on the cancer issue, or you want to just leave it at that?
I wonder whether he even had it.
Well, you know, here's the thing about that is regardless, the whole thing about it is, you know, people want to say, well, you know, what did he do bad? I mean, you know, well, besides the fact of bringing all these people to, you know, like James is saying, that, you know, he brought all these people into this, you know, cancer scam of, you know, like, you know, you're right. He maybe never did have it, James. You never know. You know, regardless, you know, the whole fact of the matter is that, you know, is that this guy bilked people out of, you know, millions of dollars for Big Pharma, really, when it comes down to it, you know? When you look at all the people that bought those yellow bracelets and from Nike and, you know, and donated to all these funds thinking that it was, you know, cancer guy, you know, won all these Tour de France's and everything. I don't know. To me, It's really it's just messed up is what it is, you know, for them to just the whole cancer industry is messed up, but the fact that you know, so much of he was so big into it, maybe that was part of the lie. I don't know, maybe he just meant well. I don't know, you know, it's hard to say with something like that. I just think that it's just another road to go down that this, you know, More cake and circus, pretty much. But
well, we had some people several months ago in the sports roundtable group. I asked the question. I said, "Who thinks Lance is innocent?" And of course, because we're anti-establishment, you know, a lot of people thought he was innocent. Thought it, you know, that I don't know what the motive would be, but you know, thought that it is a witch hunt and everything. But like, if he's going to come out and confess now, it's like, you know, all those people are going to have mud on their faces, but...
Oh, yeah. When's this Oprah thing? This is going to be, what, Friday or something?
It's basically... It's airing about 22 hours from now, so...
Okay.
Today, tomorrow, you know, tonight.
So like, 9:30 tomorrow night, if it's 11:30 now?
Yeah, around about then, I guess. It'll be in the night time, yeah.
All right, that's cool. I'll try and check that out if I can. If I get near a TV. Last time I got near a TV was New Year's Eve at my friend's house, and I was forced to watch Justin Bieber sing 3 times. And then they had Justin's buddy Gangnam Style come out with MC Hammer, and then he gave him the mic after they played his music. I was pretty pissed off. I don't know what else, Justin. You got anything else for tonight, bud? You want to wrap
it
up soon? Go ahead. Go on a spiel, buddy. We got a lot of we got a lot of listeners tonight too. I just want to thank everybody. We got over 20 live listeners tonight. Plus, we've been getting 300-400 a week in archives. So you guys have been doing a great job.
Yeah, I just wanted to get into obviously the flu virus fear mongering that's been going on incessantly. As far as right now, that's all I've been hearing everywhere is either Sandy Hook or flu, Sandy Hook or flu. And I want to talk about, for one, you know, all they're doing is they're pushing vaccines on you. Now, I already know people this year that have gotten sick, and they've actually been told by the doctor that they didn't even have the same strain of flu.
Mike's bad. Mike's real bad. Real bad. Try one more time.
Hold on.
You're good, good, good. Go ahead.
Mongering as far as the flu vaccines go, the basic thing is, like I said, I know people that have gotten sick with the flu and it wasn't even the same flu strain, and they say, I know people that said, well, I got it from my kids this year because the doctor convinced me that they said they had it nailed down to the four or five main strains that it would be. And that's just bullshit fear mongering. That's just bullshit lying because, there's no way to tell, supposedly. And then, of course, across the country, we're hearing it's a pandemic. We're hearing about all these deaths. First off, I guarantee that these deaths were very, very old people that were probably on their way out anyway. And that's, it's not like you have regular people dying of the people that were gonna die of next time they got sick with anything are probably the only ones up there. So it's not like it's killing healthy people. And for them to make healthy people or even relatively healthy, even if you have a small condition like a heart problem or diabetes or something, it still doesn't mean you should go out and get a vaccine. We were just talking about it. Something I was looking into. The fact of the link between autism and vaccines, and they talk about how mercury and thimerosal is no longer used in them. However, let me backtrack for a second. Just recently, two people were awarded, I believe over $1 million each for from the government in vaccine court. And one was ruled that it actually was gave them autism. Gave them autism. Either way, encephalitis. That's brain injury. To still, when you still hear people say that there's no link between.
Yeah, Justin, your mic totally cut out on us. But what Justin was saying is that the people that say there's no link between autism and vaccines are crazy. I read an article when I first got back in the truth movement like 2 years ago or whatever, a little longer. I was reading up on vaccines a little bit. And they have a vaccine court basically set up to make payoffs to families, keep it hush-hush. And there's been over like 5,000 cases of people being paid out for their kids being injured from vaccines, And we got the video of the Merck, the head of the Merck doc, Dr. Hilleman, remember the head of Merck vaccine, laughing about the polio, SV40 cancer being in the polio vaccines. It just sucks everything around us from the food to the cleaning products to everything is like so bad for us and. They could make shit good. They don't have to make it toxic.
Right. Well, another main point, too, is I think I have my mic set for a minute anyway if I hold it a certain way. If I hold the wire the certain way, it's not the mic. But anyway, if you look at it, too, like when we were growing up, we got a certain amount of vaccines. I was born in 81. Brian was born probably late 70s. And James is relatively younger than us, but even James, when he was growing up, I'm sure didn't have anywhere near the amount of vaccines as you're getting nowadays. He probably had about half as many, I'd say, probably, you know, in between. But back then we had, you know, the you had the MMR, you had I don't have the list, but regardless, it's not a big list. It was like five or six recommended things, and the only I don't think any of them were really mandatory. Nowadays, you have the you have you know, mandatory just to get into schools and stuff and healthcare workers. You have the chicken pox one, which when I was a kid, everyone caught chicken pox. I don't know anyone that died from it. MMR, which is a combination shot, and the combination shots, they say, are the ones that are capable of doing the most damage.
Justin, you wouldn't just die from it. You would get immune to it and never get it again, usually, right? Chicken pox?
Right.
The
right.
body would and, do and, that with a lot of this shit.
Right. That's what's happening is you know, is most of these things. There's only a few actual diseases that you know that they're vaccinating for that are deadly. You know, and even so, they're, you know, most of them are not deadly to, you know. And for example, why does a 10-year-old boy, you know, need a HPV, human papillomavirus, vaccine? It's bullshit because for one, men cannot get HPV. They can carry it and give it to a female through intercourse. But again, you know, we've already seen all the women dying from HPV. Why should we, you know, go and give it to young boys now? You know, we have the rotavirus, which is really just a bad case of diarrhea, which, okay, what happens then? Really, you know, give your kids some Gatorade or what's that other stuff? You know, just keep them hydrated with water, really. And if it gets really bad, you bring them to the hospital. But even then, most people don't need to go, you know, for regular rotavirus. You probably didn't even know when you had it. It probably just is like a stomach bug. There's a few others. The link is so far down on the page, I can't find it right now. But there's like six or seven. Let me try to think of a couple other ones off the top of my head. But regardless, there's so many now that are so unneeded. And they really strong-arm these young mothers, especially single mothers, or young mothers and fathers. Now, I know friends and stuff that have been in there. And if you have any, like, you know, problems with, like, you know, child services or anything like that. Now, if you try to, like, you know, opt out and not get vaccines, they'll take your kid. There's no, you know, there's no nothing about it. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people have no option, especially poor people. And the thing is, we're seeing now with Obamacare, when that gets pushed through, it's going to be the same way as far as, you know, I'll guarantee that people are going to get, you know, going to get dropped or whatever if they don't get their kids vaccinated. They're going to tell you, we're not going to, you know, it's just insane where this is going. And I can see a lot more autism, Alzheimer's. You know, eczema, because it's been proven that eczema is another thing in skin conditions. What's the other skin? Psoriasis. All these things are from vaccines. And, you know, people talk about the greater good. Well, you know, it's actually, people talk about vaccines curing polio. And I'm not saying that there's no need for any vaccines, although I do believe 99% of them are bullshit. But, you know, I don't really know much about the tetanus ones or you know, those, but regardless, what they're doing now is for profit. It has nothing to do with it's for profit and for slow kill. It has nothing to do with the health of people. And you know, and if it was, we wouldn't find them infecting supplies of this stuff with you know, putting bird flu in the vaccine. That's one of the things Hilleman found. You know, they wouldn't be finding. You know, people wouldn't be admitting that they put AIDS in the, you know, in the, what do you call it, hepatitis B vaccine. That's another one, too. Why do babies need a hepatitis B vaccine? Are they going to be sharing needles? You know, are they going to be, you know, in any of the, you know, having sex or any of the ways that you would get hepatitis? No. You know, it's insane. And the fact that they, that's another thing, too. Now, if a parent wants to give somebody, I mean, wants to give their kid a vaccine, even if they want to slow down the schedule and say, you know, okay, I have no problem with getting my kid the vaccines, but I don't want to give them all on top of each other. You know, the doctors will strong arm you into it and tell you you're a bad parent that you're a fringe, that you've been listening to too much Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey, and you know, and that they're all not, you know, they just want to, that's what they do. They shame you into thinking you're a bad parent, and that's what we're seeing all through society, and it's just for the greater good. The only thing, a quick point I was wanted to make with polio is, there's a reason that so many people say vaccines cured polio, but I've been reading a lot up on it recently, and for one, they changed the parameters around what a case of polio was, and for second, you know, they leave out the fact that the numbers were already going way down before the vaccine was even introduced because of you know, better standards as far as washing and stuff like that, and you know, and just, you know, cleanliness in general. So I mean, I think that these stuff is just propaganda that we've been hearing as far from the you know, the vaccine industries and whatnot. It's big business, big money, and they very rarely do they ever have to pay out. And even then, what's a million, 2 million here or there when they're bringing in billions? You know,
they're bringing in more than billions, and they just print whatever they need anyway. So money's no object at all. We can't ever think like money. It's just like they don't care. You know.
Well, I mean, as far as Big Pharma goes, I know what you mean, but Big Pharma execs and whatnot.
Yeah. Okay, I get you. Right. Getcha.
But I hear you. It is all tied in though on the you know, on the larger you know, agenda. But I don't know, that's all I really want to talk about. Oh, you know what? Before we go, I wanted to talk a little bit about the guy Gene Rose.
Yeah, go ahead. Fix your wire again, and we'll get all right. To him.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
It's looking good now. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Gene Rosen was the guy that supposedly had these kids walk to his house after the Sandy Hook shooting, and you know, and he quotes them saying, "Oh, my teacher's dead," you know, this and that. And he supposedly comforted them and brought them his grandson's toys. The whole thing was very odd. To make a long story short, though, this guy is now in the news again, saying that conspiracy theorists have been calling him and harassing him, and saying that, you know, saying that he's an actor and saying that, you know, this and that. And the whole fact of the matter is, it's just so absurd that this guy would have this long a time for kids to actually bring them down toys and everything. You know, after, if a mass shooting happens at your school and you have a bunch of 6-year-old kids at your house, you're not going to have time to bring them down toys. You're going to try to find, you're going to call the cops. The cops are going to be there within seconds because you're right down the street. And they're going to take them away and bring them right to the firehouse or wherever it was and have them reunited with their parents. Their parents are obviously worried about them. If they were in the same classroom as kids, they got, you know, they'd be debriefed and then they'd be given their parents. So the whole story to me, you know, just like the rest of it, is just ridiculously, you know, insult to our intelligence. I just wanted to bring that up, though, because, you know, if you watch some of the videos with him, the guy even, you know, he even just says different shit in every video. It's just, he's really going for an Oscar there, but.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is just some horrible acting we've seen through the whole thing. I put a link in the chat for everybody for our Sandy Hook page. If you missed our Sandy Hook show, just click that Sandy Hook link. I'll put it in the comments, too. The audio is right at the top. All the follow-along evidence is there for you to follow along with. It was our show that we did last week. I felt it was a pretty good show. We're probably going to cut a little shorter tonight. I know sometimes we go 4, 5, 6 hours. We're probably just going to do a normal person 2-hour show tonight, unless Justin or James had anything else you want to bring up tonight other than what we've already covered.
Real quick, last week, I know we talked about, you know, the thing with the websites and whatnot, the go back and whatnot. Didn't you say afterwards that you looked into it and it appears that what you were doing, the method you were doing, did appear to be right?
Yes, as far as the memorial funds and everything. And I reposted a new article up on the Sandy Hook page, and it goes into great depth how the Google bots and everything work, and how the you know, just how the whole process works, and about how some web pages can be republished, and they'll get a, you know, they'll get like a, they'll keep the old date, but they'll put new information up. But there were like actual, you know, Sandy Hook condolences URL domains that were taken out a day or two before the event. That's a little different than changing a a page over and republishing it. You know what I mean? So I think the information that we dug up on the Google and all that was correct information. We had this guy that came in the Justin, you know, the shill guy, the guy that came in the comments just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking.
He's in my opinion, he's a that guy is a paid debunker. If you look at what he did, and it looks like there's a lot of that going on. You know, I do think that, you know, there's a lot of people have been coming and listening to our San Diego special. But I look at it, every person that has submitted some good evidence is seeing these people, you know, and the comments are appearing at a rate faster than, you know, there's no reason this guy would have the, you know, I can't see someone wanting to take that much time out of their day more than just to, like, leave one comment, maybe two, and leave. But to keep coming back and arguing with stuff, either he's a debunker from, like, Randy, you know, the, what's that guy's name?
Rancor?
No, not Rancor. James Randi has a bunch of these guys that... They have like a debunker website, you know, and they supposedly debunk 9/11, debunk all this shit, you know, debunk the moon land, everything that we talk about, they supposedly debunk. So, I mean, you know, maybe he's someone from there or someone that, you know, is trying to get whatever that metabunk file was, get people to his website. Regardless, this guy has an interest in it. It's not, he's not just some you know, concerned citizen that saw us talking about it. He has a stake in this one way or another.
He's like hoax busters.
Yeah, exactly.
When they busted the hoax, the moon landing, and they tried to act like it was real. That was such a joke.
You mean Mythbusters, hoax busters?
Yeah, Mythbusters. Yeah, hoax busters is Chris. Sorry, Chris. I didn't mean to throw you under that bus. I like Chris's show. I mean Mythbusters, the TV show, when they try to debunk the moon hoax, and it was just awful, the points that they were bringing up. Such a joke. But we're gonna cut a little bit out of here a little. Max said he's gonna dog the fuck out of Santilli tomorrow. So Max, let me know how that goes and how that feels. And if you're gonna call in, let me know ahead of time, because I'll be around during the early daytime. So as long as it's not too late in the afternoon, I definitely want to tune in, and I certainly want to give this guy a call and give him a piece of my mind. I'm not done with him yet, so I don't even know who this guy is. Justin, quick, we got 8 minutes. Quick background on this guy?
I don't know much. I've just been hearing about him in the past year. I really don't. I don't know much about him at all. I just know he's a Wood supporter. He's been out in the past year. I just noticed that.
There's money behind him. There is money behind him. I can tell by his radio shows how they're produced. There's money behind him.
I think so, too. He's on American Freedom Radio, and not everyone over there is a shill. I don't think everyone is, but there's a good amount of them. And the other thing is that, you know, the fact is, you know, just that he would mute you like that, the way that he knew his talking points, to me, the guy seems like he was put out, you know, more or less to push a couple things. It was weird is the next day he was having Susan Lindauer on, which would be like, you know, it's kind of like someone going, I think Lindauer still pushes the hijacks, you know, so I mean, it's So I mean, you know, I understand that you want to have a wide range of people on there, but to me, there's no IA, you know, I don't know, is there, I don't really, you know, maybe there is some real legit ex-CIA guys, but I don't know. I don't put much faith in what Susan Lindauer has to say personally.
You know, this guy, from the two shows I've heard, this guy's a big mouth that tries to talk over everybody. And I'd love to give him a piece of my mind. So we'll see what happens. Max, let me know how that goes for you tomorrow. Get a hold of me before you do, because I want to hear it. If you're going to call in or you're going to post him a blog or whatever you're going to do, get a hold of me. Let me know. James, you have anything you want to say before we bounce out of here tonight? We're just going to do a two-hour show tonight. We'll come back tomorrow when we have some more solid evidence on some things. It's kind of a slow week, so.
Yeah, I was just reading the Real News group. Simona posted something about some character, Aaron Swartz, who supposedly committed suicide. I don't know much about him. I was wondering if any of you guys knew anything about it.
I know she had mentioned he was similar to the Diaspora guy that had committed suicide. He had something to do up against the governments, like, go ahead. Justin? Yeah, I don't really know who he is, James. I can't hear Justin right now, but I'm not sure who he is, really.
Yeah, the powers that be have decided we can't talk about it.
I guess we don't get to define who he is, so he'll have to wait till the next show. You're in and out, Justin. We're gonna close it out. We're gonna close it out on this note.
All right. Well, let me just real quick just talk about him. He was one of the main reasons why they got all the people behind to go against SOPA.
Okay.
From Reddit, and I guess he was really bullied by the FBI, really chased out. They either killed him or he was bullied to death. Just like the second anthrax suspect. Regardless of the fact that the government killed him either by force or they, bullied the guy to death. But the main thing is the guy was doing a good thing. Wanted the free flow of information out there, and now he's dead. There's a lot of people that have, people on the gun side of things, people, on that side of things that end up dead in the last couple of years. All people like you're saying, the guy from Diaspora. Well, what was he would have taken away from Facebook if he was successful.
Yeah, he had it set up so you could export all your information back out of the social network, and they couldn't save anything. That's what it was.
Right.
And they weren't having that.
No. But you don't even hear a Diaspora anymore. Same thing here, I think, with Aaron Schwartz. But, we'll look into it more and talk about it next week. But I don't know. I can't think of anything else I have to say. I did want to mention that about the guy, Aaron Schwartz, though. It is sad to see somebody that's doing the right thing. And not necessarily even on the same page as we are. But, again, he's, doing something in... And, ends up paying the ultimate price for it.
Yeah, it does suck. But, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just want to say I've just found out that Lance Armstrong interview is at 9 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, Thursday night. So
all right, thank you. All right, thank you. Everybody in the U.S., 9 p.m. Eastern time at Thursday night. So that'll be tomorrow. We'll be watching that. And, I don't know, I guess I'll talk to the rest of you guys next Wednesday. Justin, I got a song for you here, buddy. Guys, you've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, James Sloan, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Back it up.
Yeah.
You gon' hold me, baby. I just wanna see you take it all.
Baby, you got what I want now. Couple bottles of Chris, let's get it on now. From the front of the club to the back now.
I just wanna see you take it off.
Watch me move and shake the whole place down. Pull off in the whip so we can get down. Cause it's me and my girls, you and your boys down.
I just wanna see you take it off.
Serafina, race of a ballerina. Small waist, ass shaped like Trina's. Woo. Pretty face, tongue tastes like Zima. If I wasn't a pimp, I'd put a ring on your finger. Freak for sure, knew her for a week or more. And already wanna beat her ball. On the dance floor, dancing till my feet were sore.
I just wanna see you take it off.
Even willing to piece her off. Had my hands on her rear, cheeks were sore. I was all in the air, letting that beef for talking like magic in seconds. I eased the thoughts, told her, get a drink if she needs support. Just sorta don't think I eat the course. The car's close if your legs get too weak to walk.
I just wanna see you take it off.
Baby, you got what I want now. Couple bottles of Chris, let's get it on now. From the front of the club to the back now.
I just wanna see you take it off.
Watch me move and shake the whole place down. Pull off in the whip so we can get down. Cause it's me and my girls, you and your boys down.
I just wanna see you take it off.
Weekend's here, told Boo be sincere. I wanna see you in your evening wear. Had a doobie wrapped up, made of Elisa hair. Lights on, made sure the grease was near. Nikes on, kicked them right off beneath the chair. Tan lines lit up nice, made her features glitter. Tattoos, smooth skin, plus her teeth was fair.
I just wanna see you take it off.
Dough is here, I know what fears. Love cars like clothes, I drove for years. Love a massage and a chick to let me hold the ears. Who's willing? No feelings, I'm cold as beer. As long as the zone is there, and as long as she bathe and she comb her hair, we could light something nice and cologne the air.
just wanna see you take it off.
Baby, you got what I want now. Couple bottles of Chris, let's get it on now. From the front of the club to the back now.
I just wanna see you take it off.
Watch me move and shake the whole place down. Pull off in the whip so we can get down. Cause it's me and my girls, you and your boys down.
I just wanna see you take
now
it
you
off.
Now you could quote your price if your toes is nice. And if you got fitted jeans that promote you right. It's never a such thing as clothes too tight. Hype, hair color, skin tone too light. I love sights, I'm an old school type. Tits, lips, even maybe hoes I like. Really kiss, but I lick, twist, roll, and bite.